Welcome, everyone, to Deep Space Jukebox. My name is Aaron Yonke, and it is my pleasure to introduce the fine three gentlemen that I am with today.
My name is Rob, and I am the president and dictator for life of Deep Space Robots.
My name is Jonathan. I'm a guy here at Deep Space doing animation and video work.
I'm Andrew. I'm a lowly serf, I guess, at Deep Space Robots. No, I'm the director of development at Deep Space.
I thought you might say I'm just a man.
Hey, that's a throwback to our last episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Today we're talking about Your Love by The Outfield. It was released in 1986. It only took 20 minutes for the band to write the song. And evidently it wasn't based on any true story. The initial version of the song was a lot more softer and subdued, more acoustic and kind of more of a ballad. But the producer behind the song wanted them to try a more hard rock approach because they wanted it to be kind of current with more of the tone of the 80s, more of like a rock ballad sound. And the public reception was great, but critics, I read that they felt like it was derivative, encouraged philandering, and sounded too much like Journey. So
wow.
Sounded too much like Journey. I feel like that's a compliment, isn't it?
I feel like I think the direct quote was, evidently the lead singer has been listening to too much Journey. Wow. Was the way that they put it.
Didn't know that was possible.
But Andrew, you said you had a story about, you saw this song on Reddit earlier.
So 2 days ago, this post hit Reddit's front page, which was, what other songs could fit into the weird hit homewrecker genre? Like Jesse's Girl, Stacy's Mom, Scotty Doesn't Know. And it was the first comment at the time, but now it's maybe 10 or 15 down. Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and we'll talk it over.
That's true. It really is like a subset of songs. I have a couple of thoughts about what I think is more of like the archetypal stuff going on behind the scenes of the lyrics. I'll kind of do just like a quick background of how I found it, initial impressions. This song was kind of about 4 or 5 months ago, was making the rounds on TikTok. And immediately when I heard it, like almost like the sadness and the loneliness in the singer's voice seemed to come through a lot more in this like most recent discovery of the song. And what was funny is like, cause I think the words really back that up. Like he talks about, I ain't got many friends left to talk to, nowhere to run when I'm in trouble. I don't want to lose your love tonight. So the words felt kind of like they were backing up that impression of just like the loneliness and sadness in the song. What was strange to me at the time was just like how the music didn't match that at all. So I was for weeks and weeks after finding the song, I spent trying to find an acoustic version of the song. And later on realized that originally the song was written to be more like that. But it was that shift to more of a hard rock sound that kind of created that tension. I think it works because it actually makes it, I think it makes the heaviness of the lyrics a lot more, hidden, which is kind of cool. Makes it like you kind of have to poke around a little bit past the music to hear that, like, it fits better into that group of songs that is really sad lyrically, but the music sounds a lot more upbeat than what the lyrics would justify them being. I'll say one more just about the music of the song, and then kind of open it up to y'all for your impressions. The drums in this, Andrew, like right when I first heard the drums, that was what like I immediately thought of you, because I mean, they may be awful. I don't know anything about drums, but I think they sound so cool. Like the whole way through, it's like so clear that like the drums are the instrument of this song. And I don't ever like air drum, but I do when I listen to this song, because it's like you kind of have to like get into the drumming part of it. And then the perfectly timed harmony at different points in the song, how it starts just the guitar. And then when all of the, there's like three harmonies going on behind the main vocalist, that pops up at really powerful points. So yeah, those were kind of musically the things that jumped out to me, but I'd love to hear what y'all thought slash think of the song. Any impressions?
Just a quick word on the musical production. This is going to sound terribly elitist, but one of the, so music production is pretty much been democratized since the early aughts, I guess. Like I bought my first audio interface in 2002 and it was like $100 and I could record with a good mic into a computer and mix music in GarageBand. And that was great fun. And then everybody could do that. And now anyone can get a song on Spotify and, which is great. You know, a lot of people are getting more visibility because of that. Like you have people like Billie Eilish and her brother that come up that had no prior musical training and didn't go through the typical sort of studio process. They made all their music in their bedroom and that sort of stuff is really charming. But then like you listen to, bands that were like carefully picked and curated and had millions of dollars spent on them for studio time and production. And had, you know, record executives in there saying, no, you can sing it this way. You can't sing it that way. You must do it this way because that's what's going to sound good and that will sell. Like it really shows the music production from the 80s. Like it all kind of sounds the same, but it's all just so good. So like on the one hand, I enjoy the democratization of music, but on the other hand, if you have professionals doing their thing that they're really good at, it actually really does show and it makes a difference.
My younger brother, Jeremy, discovered this song through a friend. I'd never heard it. And it was all he listened to for a long time. Like he loved this song. I'll never forget when he first showed it to me and he was so excited. And he's like, dude, check this song out. This is the greatest song ever. I love this song. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty cool. Actually, I like it. So I kind of added it to my playlists and listened to it for a while. But I always think of my little brother when I hear this song, because he was so, he loved it. Like it's, I think he still does. I don't know. I have to ask him. But I hit a point where I was like, hey, I wonder what the lyrics say, because I'm that guy that will listen to a song 100 times and never listen to the words. And then I'm like, hey, I wonder what he's saying. And I was a little disappointed. I was like, man, this sounds, I can't hear this any other way than like a selfish dude in a bad relationship. I mean, literally saying like, I just want to use your love. I don't want to lose your love. Maybe he means something else by that. That doesn't come across to me well. But I don't know. Once I heard that, I was like, maybe I'm not crazy about this song as much as I thought I was. So I kind of quit listening to it. I don't know. I think it sounds awesome. But for some reason, that just bothered me at the time.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, what you were saying earlier about the disconnect between the production, the style of music, and the message of the music, I think actually works really well. Because if you were a person who is trying to convince yourself that having an affair while your wife or girlfriend is away is the right thing to do, then you probably wouldn't pitch the idea to yourself as like a melancholy acoustic song. It would probably be a rock song to try to pump yourself up and try to like convince yourself that this is fine. It's fine. You know, it's good. It's what people do. You know, this is great. Let's do it. Let's do it. Come on. Let's go. The internal tension between the song's message and its like really upbeat kind of empowering kind of sound, I think it adds an interest and complexity to the song that otherwise would not be there.
There's a point about halfway through the song where he finishes the chorus and the guitar and drums kind of like trail off, like they it creates a new motif. And then when that resolves, he starts singing again, but it's much more muted. It's almost like he's whispering. And that's when he sings, "Try to stop my hands from shaking. Something in my mind's not making sense. Can't hide the way I'm feeling." I'm gonna find the exact words for it. It's this point in the song where it feels like he's almost like he's whispering to himself or in his head. And that was one of the other things I wrote down, was just the sense of like the whole song's really written as an internal dialogue. There's very few points where he directs it to someone that he's talking to. Like Josie's on a vacation far away, come around and talk it over. So many things I want to say, you know, like my girl's a little older. All of that I kind of read as him like rehearsing something in his head. Try to stop my hands from shaking. Something in my mind's not making sense. It's been a while since we've been all alone. I can't hide the way I'm feeling. When he gets to that part at the very end where he's like, "I can't hide the way I'm feeling," and he like lifts up his voice really high, really fast at the end. I've always felt that as like the point where he starts talking again out loud outside of his head, because I don't know if y'all have this experience of like you have a feeling inside of you, or you have a way that you want to say something. And then when it gets to the point of actually saying it out loud, it feels like it's an entirely different emotion once it leaves you. Almost like it's taking off like that at the very end of the filtering process before it gets out into the world.
Wait, you guys are feeling emotions?
Wait, what are those?
And that's the point when he switches to talking to this girl he's cheating with.
I think that interpretation I think is great, and I think it underlines what Jonathan said earlier, that like this is just a really self-centered guy. Like the song isn't even like him, you know. It may not even be him having a conversation with his paramour. It may just be him talking to himself, which is like even more.
But if that's your internal dialogue, you're probably still not a stand-up guy.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't have that internal dialogue in my head. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm not wrestling with that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I will say though, there's a real great nugget of marriage wisdom in here. For those of you who are married or thinking about getting married, anytime you're in an argument with your spouse, you can just lift a line right out of this song. It says, "Just because you're right, that don't mean I'm wrong." And that'll just get you out of all kinds of trouble.
Wow. So
that's a free one on me.
Wow.
Just the best way to get out of an argument.
Wow.
Try it. Try it tonight. Try it at home, guys. See how it goes for you.
Here, I thought you were going to say, "You know I'd do anything for you, Jonathan."
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a little better. I think it is weird because like a lot of these songs, I remember hearing for the first time at like the skating rink or something, like at a 9-year-old birthday party. It's like, or the Rangers game or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
The mall. It's just weird that like, It lives in the same space as "Don't Stop Believin'," but yeah, the lyrics are something else.
But I would say looked at "Don't Stop Believin'," it's probably pretty dark. I don't know. I haven't really examined the lyrics, but there's probably a lot of. I mean, like these artists, they write from introspection a lot of times, I think that's great. I think it's kind of, you know, but it is a little strange that they're playing it at the roller rink, you know?
Well, like this happens all the time. Like there's a recent example. There's a Justin Bieber song. He did it in with another artist. I forget his name, but it's called "Stay," and it was a big deal. It may still be, I don't know.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, it's really catchy. And like, Lisette was listening to it, and then like I think she heard it from somewhere, and like then we were like letting our boys listen to it, and then we were kind of like, oh, what's he saying? And the very first, I mean, out of the gate, he says, like, I do the same thing I told you I never would. I told you I changed, even though I knew I never could. I know that I can't find anyone as good as you. I need you to stay. And it's like, I'm pretty bad. I told you I would change. I'm never going to change, but please don't leave me. Like, wow, that's awful.
And well, it's funny you bring that song up too, because I feel like the tone of both of these songs is the same. Like, the sadness and the it's kind of like throwing your hands up. It's not quite nihilism. It's more like there's nothing left in the person that's trying anymore. That's the kind of the emotional tone between that Stay song and then this one.
They want to live that consequence-free life.
Well, and I don't even think it's just that. Like, I think they're very aware that there are consequences to what they're doing. I just think they're either they've lost so little respect for themselves and the people that they're with that they are okay to take the action because there's going to be consequences, or they've lived a life that is just so riddled with problems that what's one more problem on top of it all?
Yeah, maybe so.
Because it feels like he's kind of like dipping into that a bit.
Well, Rob, I feel like you've just been kind of sitting.
I'm just listening. I'm listening. Y'all are great. Y'all are. It's good. It's good. Oh, I don't want to like, you know. You know, it's cool. Aaron found a song that I could, the first song of our grouping, maybe that I didn't pick, that I immediately added to my liked songs playlist in Spotify. And I've, oh, and have been yeah, listening to like nonstop for the past week. The wonderful thing
is
about
everything
that
fine at home, Rob.
Well, the wonderful thing about that, I have not looked. I intentionally didn't even look at the lyrics because I knew the lyrics were going to be just horrific and like and take me to this dark place. So I just completely avoided the lyrics until like 10 minutes before we jumped onto this call because I didn't want to ruin it. And I know I'm going to have to now remove it from my liked songs. But I'm so glad that I had the time that I had with it because it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
It is a really fun song.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And I know there's probably all of these connections that I can draw where it's like, well, yeah, sin's fun in the moment, buddy. You know, hope you enjoyed it, you know, and look at all the awfulness that's about to come around the corner. And which I totally agree with. But man, I just thought it was a really fun song. And like, I just, and I'm, cause I'm with you, Jonathan. Like I don't, when I first listen, I never listened to the lyrics. Like I rarely, got past, I didn't even know the first lyric was Josie's on a vacation far away. I think he said Josie something. I didn't even know it was Josie. I thought he said like, you know, jumping on a tractor. I don't know what it was. So, but I just thought it just had a great vibe. I love the production. Cause I really like that tight 80s, I'm almost a rock and roll song from the 70s, but I've dialed it back enough to be way more sophisticated. You know, like you could take me like some sophisticated drink that I don't know what the name of it would be. So I thought that was super cool. So I really just enjoyed the listen. And I do think like looking at the lyrics, like, yeah, it's about what I expected. Like he's coming from a pretty dark place and it's rough. Like, and that's it is a bummer, but boy, it's a great listen.
Well, and I think like the part of the reason that I love the song, I think, is that tone, because I think there's definitely a piece of me that I think has a lot of my life been in that space of like at the edge of fighting to be in that headspace. not trying to get into it, but trying to keep that at bay. And I think there's something a little cathartic in the process of listening to it, because I think I don't so much hear the words as I hear what he's not saying in the words. And that's coming through really loud in the emotion behind the song. Like, it cracked me up when I read them saying, like, it's not based on anything in real life, because, like, I believe them, but I don't believe that the emotion isn't based on anything in real life, because he is very much feeling what he's singing, even if he hasn't had an affair. Like, he's been in that headspace and maybe was in it when he was singing it. Even the music video, I don't know if y'all saw the music video.
No, I didn't.
But it's the most, like, it's like if you asked a preschooler to try and depict what having, like, an affair would be, because there's not even that. Like, he's clearly single. He walks, the whole thing is set to them doing a recording of the song. And there's, like, some light making eyes with a girl who's water painting with her hands while they're playing the song. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, it gives you the perception that, like, it really isn't the main thread of the song that there's, well, it is the main thread of the song that there's an affair happening, but from the perspective of the man that's actually singing the song, I don't think that's the part that makes people be drawn to this song. Yeah.
I wonder if some of that is sort of the corporate music machine at the time, where they're like, nope, we're not going to, and we can't shoot a music video about somebody having an affair. Best we can do is you making eyes at your crush across the stage.
That's what it felt like. A Disney, like, early 2000s, yeah. Disney rom-com. Yeah. Like, that was kind of the vibe of the music video.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, even what you were saying, Jonathan, it's like, even as I'm looking at the lyrics, like, I'm trying to find an excuse for this guy. Like, I'm really trying, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you presented it in such a fun way, but you're... Yeah.
Just like Satan.
Still kind of a jerk. Well, you're right. I mean, you're right. I mean, maybe I've just stumbled upon a horrific analogy for sin that's on my liked songs playlist, you know? How many other songs probably are that I don't even know about? So,
well, and if I'll clarify that, if it sounds like I'm trying to play some kind of a self-righteous card here, I'm certainly not. Like, I'm sure we could crack open my Spotify liked songs list right now and find a couple of real stinkers on there.
Well,
but it's, again, it's like my excuse often is like, I really didn't know those words were in there. I should probably pay more attention. But, like, I'm not like, well, if you listen to this song, then obviously that means you want to be a cheater involved. Yeah. It's like, no, it's a super fun song. I mean, even with the drums thing you were saying, Aaron, like, you can hear how much fun that guy's having on those drums. Mm-hmm. Like, it is an upbeat, fun jam of a song. And it's just got really unfortunate lyrics that, for some reason, in this case, they just bother me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just think, I will say, like, lyrics aside, stylistically, this one's right up my alley for sure. So, in fact, you know, I will scour Spotify for artists that are making music like this now. And it's, and when I come across them, they're always just a treat to enjoy. So I love, you know, this, it's just like stylistically, like, just really, you know, really fun.
You know what you can do is you can use this song to create a Spotify radio station and see what it throws at you.
I may or may not have done that.
Jolene, Stacy's mom, Jesse's girl.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Today's top 10 ways to ruin your relationship, coming to you on Spotify.
So the other thing that this brought to mind, the sort of the content of the lyrics. I know a lot of you guys have listened to the Civil Wars, and a lot of their lyrics are kind of along these lines, sort of like regret-filled ballads about forbidden love. And it's interesting.
Oh, I know this take. I talked about this a long time ago.
It's interesting. Like when you said you watched the music video and there, it just really lightens the blow enough that like it all of a sudden feels innocuous. If you ever watch the Civil War's live performances, you can tell that the Joy Williams and I forget his name, like they are 100% in love and they are not married. They're married to other people. And you can tell that like every one of the songs that they have written is about the other band member. And they're just up there, like their hearts bleeding on the stage, trying to figure out how to live life this way. And, you know, they did it for a couple of years and then had to break up and gave us some really great art.
Wow.
Dang.
Well, it seems like the fact that they broke up would point to them being some type of a connection there, because they made really good music together and they were successful.
I think it's interesting that the reality of that situation leaked over into every music video they made. Whereas here, the reality of the situation is very much muted by the music video.
So to ask a more philosophical question on kind of what we're talking about.
That's not allowed.
Does listening to music like this that you disagree with lyrically but enjoy musically and just want to enjoy it, can that have an effect on you? Can those lyrics actually affect you?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a real thing? Or can you just ignore them and move on and forget about it and just enjoy the music?
I think either of those is possible.
Maybe it depends on the person.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the attitude you take.
What do you mean by effect?
Well, so they say you're the average of your five closest friends, and like everything whatever comes in goes out. So it's like you are affected by what you consume to varying degrees and who you hear, listen to and talk with and blah, blah, blah. But with music, I just feel like with music, people have always gone back and forth on like, well, if you're just listening to it for the music, then it doesn't matter if the lyrics are bad. Especially if they're only mildly so, or like they're only hinting at things, as long as they're not like outright vulgar and crazy, you know? And I'm not trying to drive at anything here. I really just am asking a question, just for conversation's sake. Like, can you listen to a song about a guy who is tempted towards a relationship when you yourself are in a healthy, strong relationship and there's no even temptation, right, to like do what this guy is thinking about doing? And yet, you know, it's running through your head day in and day out because you're listening to the song. Does that have an effect or does it matter? Or
so I think it's interesting that like the short answer is I think it depends on what you're listening for. Mm-hmm. And I think all four of us have listened in different ways. When I listen to the song, not to say that we all don't hear the same things, just there's what we've brought up so far has been kind of different veins of how you could digest the content of a song. That I'm hearing the emotion of the singer himself, not the character in the song or the words of the song. Rob was hearing the music and the kind of energy and the refined production quality of the music. You were hearing the words themselves and kind of the imagery and synchronicity that kind of comes up when each one of those is hitting you. And I think Andrew's kind of bouncing back and forth between the words themselves, the music, and the tension between those two. So I would say if you're listening to a song and what's jumping out the most to you is the words and you don't like the way that the words are making you feel, then 100% it's a bad song for you. Mm. And so I would disagree, Andrew. I guess you should
think Andrew's like,
the reasoning. The reasoning for that. So I'll make a distinction between songs that press you in uncomfortable ways and songs that are triggering. That's the distinction I'm making. There are songs that I listen to where what they're singing drives me crazy, that I disagree with it. Like hyper Pentecostal songs drive me crazy, but they push me. They don't trigger me, versus there are songs that I love the music behind, but I don't listen to because the words are too dark for me. And I think that's kind of the litmus I would use is, what are you listening? What are you focusing on, and how is it affecting you? And is it healthy discomfort, or is it damaging discomfort?
I think art and literature, the role of art and literature is to provide a venue for you to have vicarious experiences without suffering the consequences personally. So it gives you a chance to think through a series of events that happen because of a choice without actually having to suffer the consequences.
Hmm.
And so, you know, you can listen to a song about a guy who decides to have an affair when his wife is out of town, and take note of how that makes you feel and like what your conscience is saying. And if your conscience is waving red flags all over the place, great. The song has served a purpose. It has helped you think through, what happens if my wife goes out of town and I want to go have sex with my neighbor? Well, at least your conscience is in good enough shape to raise red flags when that happens in a song. You know, if you listen to this song and you're like, yeah, that would be pretty fun, like, that's when you really need to start doing some introspection, because that means if that happens in your real life, you're vulnerable to doing something that would wreck your marriage. I think that's a explanation for why all kinds of awful things are included in the Bible, is they're examples of, okay, here's a person who thought he was a good person and decided to do something bad, and here's how it wrecked his life. And you'd be a fool to assume that if you did that same thing, you would somehow escape. So I think there's a role for that. That depiction is not necessarily glorification. That sometimes it's good to occasionally examine difficult and sometimes awful potentialities, just so that you can be introspective and understand, like, be prepared if that were to happen to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's a really wise observation and a really important distinction, because it's not like I was sitting around when I started listening to these lyrics, whatever that was, a while ago, and I was like, uh-oh, if I keep listening to this song, next thing I know, I'm going to be a cheater. You know, it's like, it was more that once I realized it, it sucked the enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
Where it was like, I just don't respect this guy. I don't want to keep hanging out in this song.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yep.
It was more of that kind of thing. I think that's a good distinction to make for sure.
And I think that's a valid response to the music. And I think that's a valid choice. Like, once you, if after you listen to a song that has lyrics that describe somebody doing something terrible or about to do something terrible, and you feel bad about that, like, you great. The song has served its purpose. You don't have to live there anymore.
Right. Totally.
Maybe that explains why I like songs that have lyrics that aren't super explicit.
Yeah.
Like, not explicit really in like cuss words, but are kind of ambiguous, where you can read in your own meaning. Because, like, even with this, like, I'm looking for any way I can to get this guy off the hook and read it a different way. Well, it's like, well, maybe it's an emotional, you know, and he's talking to his, you know, chihuahua, you know, or something, you know what I mean? Like,
his chihuahua.
I was just saying, maybe there's like something that we can pull from this. Cause I remember listening to songs as a kid, and there'd be songs kind of like this, but as a believer, as a kid, and I love the song, and just like, first thought was like, oh, talking about God, like totally talking about his relationship with Christ, and like, man, that's awesome. You know, like this guy's got to be a Christian. Like, that's, you know, and then coming back later and like, no, he wrote it about his girlfriend, or it was like something, you know what I mean? It's like some totally different motivation. But I was able to read, I think in some senses, like, there's a way to, like, you can internally redeem word and art and language and literature, I think, to, you know, I think we have the power of to redeem that in some sense. But I think there's also some instances where it's like you kind of got to call a spade a spade. But I do think that's something kind of cool that's overlooked a lot of times. That I think we can do. And partly that is because it's like we're all, you know, working with the same, you know, we're working with God's creation, which is richly provided for our enjoyment. So it's like, it takes some work to mess that up to a point where you can't listen to it. You know? So,
yeah.
But I also think that I think it's important. I do think it's really important to be careful of what you dwell on and like where you want to hang out. And it's like, I'm only going to be able to listen to, I'm only going to be able to do those mental gymnastics so long, I guess, you know? And that's why, and I think I do need to be careful about that.
I was talking to a friend of mine, a long time ago, convinced me to watch, Mad Men so we could talk about it. And it's that same sort of thing where the protagonist is not, he's an anti-hero. He's not great. But the writing is good enough that you end up rooting for him and you end up like trying to explain in your mind why what he's doing is okay or excusable. And like every season is kind of this slow decline where you're having to work harder and harder and harder to excuse his behavior. And then there's always one episode in the season where the writers just like hit you over the head with, Don Draper is a bad dude. You should feel bad for making excuses for him. You are a bad person too, if you're trying to make excuses for him. And like that's kind of the lesson I took away from Mad Men was, it's good for me to watch once, if for no other reason than to understand that like, people will explain away bad things for other people that are charismatic. Like if you're really skilled or likable or charismatic, then people will bend over backwards to try to explain away all of your terrible stuff. And like that's a vulnerability that humans have. But I don't need that's to like watch the definition Mad Men again.
Of right.
That's like the definition of celebrity culture.
Yeah.
I think it's easier, like I said, I think it's easier for me to do the kind of stuff like what I'm talking about. I feel like in the music space because of the, there's no, you know what I mean? Like it's, like I said, it's so less explicit. It's like,
yep.
You know, there's so much more room for interpretation, you know? Whereas with like a visual medium, it's like you can't, you know, I'm not going to gymnastic out of this one. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah, that guy's head's getting chopped off and you know, he's putting on a steak and there it is.
Yeah.
Well, would y'all like to do a final vote?
Oh yeah. I got, do you want to pre-reading lyrics or post-reading lyrics? Cause now it's
I should do a scale.
Now it's a three. No, I'm just kidding. What's the scale?
Maybe I'll say how many Josies is it?
Jody's on vacation.
How many miles away is Jody? From 1 to 10.
How would this song have changed away? If he provided the name of the other person that he's talking to, and her name was like, you know, Bethesda,
Gertrude.
Oh, no, that's the point. Is she has no name?
She has no name.
Literally, she's just going to use her.
Yes. Golly, that's terrible.
Rob,
so bad.
That's the deepest thing we've said all night.
I still got, I mean, just musically, I love it. I got to give it at least 7.5 Josies.
I would give this 6 Josies. I respect the style of music and I respect the production, but it's not really my taste, but it does have really, really good. Kind of. Yeah, man.
Just kidding.
It's very well executed. Just not my cup of tea.
So I actually land on 6 as well. And that's just because I think, I mean, Rob and Andrew said it like this musically, it's great. It is a jam. It's fun to listen to. it's good music. And I did enjoy it for a long time. And so it's like, you know, the context of everything he's saying certainly brings it way down. I think were it not for that, I'd probably put this at an 8. But I gotta knock a few points off, because I can't listening to it again. It was fun just to kind of like, oh yeah, this was a fun song. It was a fun time. Like, I remember having a lot of fun with this song, and but I don't know. I just probably won't be listening to it much personally. A song has a lot of components, and I think a lot of the components of this song are solid. So,
six Josies.
I
think I would probably say 8.5 Josies.
Oh, that's so gruesome.
No. Fuck.
Which half? The top half or the bottom half?
No.
Oh
my gosh. I think if I felt like he was really singing about an affair, I feel like it would lower it by quite a lot, in the same way that some of the songs that I've kind of blacklisted for myself, I get the sense that they actually do mean what they're saying. And those kind of leave me feeling a little weird. So I think it's not a 10, because I don't think that this song is capturing a season of my life, but not an essential part of who I am. Like there are songs that I have kind of picked for future podcasts that fit more into that spot. That would be easy 9 or 10s. But for the impact that this has had on me, even since rediscovering it a few months ago, I think it's pretty spot on. Here is Your Love by The Outfield.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Please watch.